Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew. And you know, it's relationship day. And those crazy, petty, revenge, and messy exes, you wouldn't believe what some of them have done now that they're real, real upset. I don't even know if I want to call it upset that somebody did something to them. Oh, my goodness sake. Oh, okay. So we came out the box. The list started with, I crapped in her favorite designer purse after she cheated on me. Now, I got to say, one of the worst things you can do to a person, you know, in a relationship, to them, and that's about some other nonsense, to them, is cheat on them. Because, you know, people really feel, and sometimes do, put every single thing they have into the other person. And when that ends up with you cheating on them, especially with a girlfriend or one of their guys or, you know, their mama, it's just all bets are off. And I gotta tell you, I gotta tell you that this cheating thing was really on the top of the list for revenge moves. My ex had an affair, and she moved in with him pretty much straight away. I went around to pick up my kids, used the toilet, their toothbrushes, and left a little pee on them. Didn't I tell you? I mean, it's like, just, you lose your mind. When someone cheats on you out here in these streets. I emptied a whole little tray full of stinking, dirty cat litter all over the inside of the cheating pastor's car. Yeah, that's what he said. It was everywhere. And I can only imagine how hard that was to clean up. So that ain't Pastor Steph saying that that's what she did. But that's what one of the ladies wrote that she did. Let's see some of the other ones we crossed over yesterday. I ordered fish and stuffed it in her curtain hanger after she cheated on me, then poured the remaining juices in her washing machine and left. I let my dog pee on the clothes he left at my house. Yeah. This one I thought was pretty interesting. Petty, I know, that's what the person said, but I told her that her favorite designer purse I had bought her was a fake. It wasn't, but I heard she gave it away quickly. Some random person out there has a really nice, genuine Saint Laurent bag, which makes me happy. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let me tell you something. This is where people say, you know what? I am really annoyed at the cheating. Since she was having an affair with her boss, I sent an anonymous email to his manager, who I already knew didn't like him, with proof, making it sound like it was from someone within the company. They both ended up getting fired. Yeah, this is when, you know, the Due Time crew said, now you got real petty. She was behind me in a line at a bakery. Her kid wanted cupcakes, and there were only 5 left. I bought them all and left. And the one that topped the day, I sent Jehovah's Witnesses and signed him up for Scientology literature. See? I told you, all bets are off when people cheat. And I have to tell you, you know, some of these people have been, I mean, they have become real creative when they've been cheated on or when they have an ex. They want to get revenge. I can't even imagine some of the stuff that people are describing here. I can't even imagine doing this. Even in, as Pastor K always say, even in my former life, I just could not, my imagination would not go that far. Yeah. I don't know, y'all. We got to pray for this world. I got to pray for this world. Now, you know, Monday we get the switch with Shanti, and the switch tip number 185. Pay attention to your desires. Now, here's where I turned again the switch tip back to our topic at hand. You know, you are so upset that, you know, these people have cheated on you because you've wanted them so badly. You know, this is something that, you know, some people want to be married so bad. Some people want to have kids so bad. Some people want to have, you know, this status so bad. You know, and these are just a few of the desires that we actually want. You know, people have a whole lot of desires, but, you know, the caution to pay attention to your desires is really deep, because you end up with all types of covetousness sitting up in your lap, because it doesn't matter how you get it, as long as you get it, you will do anything for it sometimes. Not everybody, but some people do, because the desires are just that great. And you don't want to be caught up in that. You don't want anything that God does not want for you. So I always tell people, you know, ask God, you know, God, what is your will for my life? And let God steer you into the right direction. In this way, you won't end up having these desires that are not what God wants for you. Because what you see someone else with, whether they're really happy with it or not, is another thing. But when you see someone else with these things, it doesn't necessarily mean it's for you. So be careful that you're not, you know, coveting some things that God didn't want for you. And if you know God wants it for you, then why covet it? Because you know that in due time, it will be yours. So don't get yourself twisted up and hung up out there and end up getting yourself in trouble over some silliness. Because I promise you, you're only going to, you know, get yourself in trouble. And two of my favorite scriptures come up in this particular category. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Psalm 37:4, the desires of your heart. You know, God will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know what I'm saying? It's not just what he, you know, what he's not granting just your needs, but he is granting some of your wants. So just delight yourself in him. Okay? So make sure. Pay attention to your desires. You won't get in trouble. All right? All right. Well, that's how we spent our Monday. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Oh, my goodness. We got a lot to talk about. Yeah. We got some little old stuff. We got a little new stuff. Yeah, we're going to see what God is going to give us today. And I'm going to get this party started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that. It's the time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We are moving into the week, and we are officially on the other side of April. Amen. All right. God has been good to us. We are in our fourth month already of the year. And, you know, we are moving. We are moving. This month, this year is already gone. It's going by. It's going by. It's going by. So let's see what we're going to be talking about today. Let's get this. Let's get this talk on. All right. Well, last week, there was a really sad story. And, you know, you just can't get around these things sometimes. It just doesn't matter who you are. When somebody wants something or when someone needs something, they're going to do what they got to do. But there is some sunshine after all, because the police have arrested someone who is accused of pushing that older lady down the stairs outside of the Queen's Church. Yeah. So this video showed the 16-year-old woman walking up the stairs to the church's entrance when someone runs up the stairs in front of her, and police say he punched her in the face, causing her to fall backwards down the stairs onto the sidewalk. Then it shows him grabbing the woman's bag and checking her pockets before running off. And they say that he got $300, a cell phone, credit card, and her keys that were in her bag. And he ended up fleeing in her Nissan Altima. Now, sad news in this story. They say that the accused is a 16-year-old boy. And they've charged him with robbery, assault, grand larceny, and criminal possession of stolen property. And at 16, he already has 3 prior arrests, including 2 for robbery back in August and September of last year, and 1 criminal possession of stolen property. Thank God the woman who he assaulted, she's fine. She's out of the hospital now, and it's really sad because 3 prior arrests already at 16, and it's just safe to say that he's determined to be on his way, well on his way into some life of crime. Because anytime you run up the steps, you run up the steps to assault an older woman. Now, even if you didn't know she was elderly, while she was going up the steps and you were behind her, you officially knew she was an older woman when you got up the steps and stood in front of her. And now that is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And why? 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 And it's a sad state of affair. Really sad state of affair. Really, really something that you don't want to know your child is involved in. And, years ago, we used to easily say, the first thing came out your mouth was, we know what kind of home he came from. We know what kind of home she got. And it's so not accurate. It is so not accurate, as you have a lot of hardworking parents who do what they're supposed to do with their kids, and yet the kids are doing what they want to do. It doesn't make a whole lot of, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense why they do what they do if their parents are taking time with them. But they are. They do what they want to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I came across an article. And it was really interesting. You know, it's way off the subject, way off the subject. There's these things where it's a list of people telling stories of how they wasted their money and they really completely regret it, or they have some purchases that they absolutely love. And they it's some really interesting stuff here that they have. One of the best purchases a person said, the indoor gym, a home gym. They say they love it. It beats the gym membership. It was 9 years ago that they actually purchased this gym, and they use it daily. Now, that's different, because half the time we buy stuff and, they say it was like a clothes rack and, it always held everything else but our bodies. They say that they have some bars, they have some weights, they have a treadmill, and they said that was the best way they could have ever spent their money. Best way they could have ever spent their money. They have another, someone else wrote, the worst purchase they've ever made was a skylight remove. That's the worst thing they could have ever done, because they said that it adds heat to the house, opposed to when they had the skylight, it added some nice sunlight, and it was much more enjoyable than the heat. Wow. All right. Now, here's something that some of you could tell me about possibly, because I've been told that this has been some of the worst things to put on your home, and that's solar panels. Yeah, they said they had solar panels installed about a year ago. They say they only use 10% of the power that they used to use. They actually bought their solar panels, because here in New York, they're offering it for free. Yeah, and they said that they have a 25-year loan. Wow, I guess, that's for homeowners. Only time you can get a 25-year loan, like on your house, like a mortgage. And they say that it's only $75 a month, which is cheaper than the electric bill. And they say that nothing, no matter how bad the weather's been, it hasn't bothered the solar panels. Nice, nice. Wow. Somebody else said that the worst thing they could have ever bought was heated floors. Who has heated floors? They sell that? Wow. I never even knew that they even had anything like that. Heated floors. Wow. Wow. They say they're known for failure, and repairing them requires chipping up concrete. They're expensive, time-consuming, and inevitable. Don't do it. Okay, somebody else said the best purchase was a hot tub. and they love it. Wow, it's an absolute bliss. They do take some maintenance, but it's worth it. The worst purchase, leather furniture. They say some cheaper leather furniture often just has a surface stain and glossy, waxy coating. So scratches really show and are hard to hide. Also, genuine leather, quote-unquote, is meaningless because it can include bonded leather, which is made from ground-up scraps glued together. So your best bet is distressed leather. They say mid to deep color with some color variations, but they say that it was the absolute worst, especially with kids and pets. Wow. Wow. Okay, they say the best, now you people who like to grill, the best purchase was a built-in backyard barbecue with a countertop and mini fridge. Wow. So it's like having an additional room for entertaining. Wow. Okay. Worst purchase. Wall-to-wall carpet. They say it's so nasty. I bought my own carpet shampoo because it costs about the same as having pros come and clean two rooms. It's 100% worth it considering I use it every week. But emptying the dirty water after using it on the carpet is like pouring out a mud puddle. Gross. Okay, I just got a hit. Let's see. Somebody sent in their best. Oh, okay. Wow. Best purchase ever. One trip to Hawaii with a luau included. Wow. Tell me what year this was. I'm interested in knowing how long ago it was. So please send that to me. Wow, I wish I can go on a Hawaii trip. That's my dream trip. Now, that's in my bucket list, to go on a trip to Hawaii. I said if I ever got remarried, that's where I want to go for my honeymoon. So, okay. Somebody else says, me too. Wait. Me too when you get remarried, or me too you want to go on a honeymoon? All right, this trip to Hawaii was back in 2012. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Nice. That's over 10 years ago. Okay. Wow, I gotta go find out how great this trip to Hawaii was and make sure I book the luau. Wow. All right. And I'm not the only one who wants to go to Hawaii. Okay. Wow. Okay. Let's see. One more. Let's see. Best and worst. Okay. Best would be something that everybody would know about. Okay, an automatic generator. It was expensive to install, but every time a winter storm knocks the power out, that makes sense. All right, the worst purchase, an exterior feature made of wood. Wood siding, wood deck, or whatever it is, don't do it. It's going to require frequent painting or treating, and it's going to rot away, spend the extra bucks, and hardscape it. Okay. All righty. All right. Let's see if we got one more that anybody. Because, see, now that we're coming into the summertime, it's good to know some of this stuff. All righty. Okay, one of the best. All right. Okay, for those of us who need organizing, one of the best purchases, organizational pull-out shelves, cabinets in the kitchen. It prevents the backache and hassle of bending over to look for pots, pans, skillets, etc. The worst, glass shower doors. Now, I'm glad I came across this one because I've always wanted a glass shower door. They say they're impossible to keep clean. Wow. Oh, wait, got to tell y'all about this one. The best purchase, heated toilet seats paired with a bidet. Need I say more? Wow. Wow. You know, I have heard, I know someone with a bidet, and they say it is the best thing. Now, for those of you who may not know what that is, they have it in some other countries. When you flush the toilet, the water comes up and kind of sprinkles your bottom, so you don't have to really use toilet paper much. But don't you still have to wipe when it's dripping? I don't know. That's just half the stuff. I don't know. That just call me crazy, because that's what I would be thinking. I ain't too fond of the drip thought. No, sorry. I'm not too fond of that. All right. So let's get back to the news. Now that I've talked about some stuff that we should buy and we should not invest in. Yesterday's news was just crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I said to myself, Steph, these people have lost their minds. Well, I got to tell you, I thought I had heard it all after yesterday, but no, Nope. I have not heard it all, and I don't know if you've heard it all, but I got some stories today. Oh, Lord. All right. We need to start praying for our parents. These parents, these young parents, we got to start praying for these people. There's a story. Now, yesterday, we talked about a mother who went out overnight, left her 73-year-old in the house and ignored the baby's phone call and ended up with the youngest one passing away. And she found him dead when she got home. Well, that vacation to Hawaii is looking good, even to the new mamas, because this Texas mother of two has been arrested. 29-year-old Lakeisha Woods Williams left her children, ages 6 and 8, alone for 6 days. Now, it's not as bad as the mother who left the baby home in the playpen while she went to Puerto Rico and Detroit. She left her two children home alone in her high-rise apartment in Houston, they say, for 6 days. She went away from April 4th to April 10th, and baby, I hope she had a good time, because she will not be seeing a cruise anytime soon. Homegirl went on a cruise and left the children in the apartment, and check this out. The neighbors called, and the police and the paramedics and, you know, all of them ended up at the house. When the police entered the apartment, so that's the first problem, which is a good problem but a bad problem because the kids opened the door. But thank God they did. They told the police that their mama was on a cruise. Yes, they did. So she didn't tell them she was going on a cruise. So I just need to know what she thought they were going to be doing for 6 days. Now, I got to tell you, I have not heard of a 6 day cruise. No, 4, 5, 7, 10, 12, 13, 15. I personally have not heard of a 6 day cruise, but I do not live in Texas. So maybe they got some, you know, departing from Texas, going out for 6 days. But they have, now here's the other thing that is annoying to me. Her bond was only set at $25,000. That's it? $25,000. That's it. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, well, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. This is how they lost their mind week here on the Utah with Pastor Steph. All right. We got another one. You have a one-year-old who died when that child's parents, one-year-old boy, his 25-year-old parents, Shania Darlene Harris and Braden Jesus Pena. Oh, Lord. These two, this is twisted. So they said that these two left him in the bed for 16 hours. He was left in there. They were in the house. They said they put him down. And they went to get breakfast, left him alone for overnight. He was in the crib with them in the house. They got up. They went to get breakfast at Burger King. Came back, ate their breakfast, didn't check on the baby, and went to bed and slept for the rest of the day. So 16 hours, they left him in the bed, and he ended up, they say when they found him, he was purple and blue. They said that they could tell he hadn't been bathed, that he had scabs on his face, chin, and leg. Well, they in the house. They didn't leave him alone, but he might as well have been left alone because they never checked on him. You know, people do not like what I say. No, I do not want to hear. I don't want to hear about no baby, no gender reveal. I don't want to hear about no baby shower. No. Because it's anybody's guess which baby going to survive. It's anybody's guess whose baby is going to be taken care of properly. It's anybody's guess. And I'm sorry. I'm reading too many of these stories. And you know what? I'm not even talking about just these stories. I'm talking about the stories that don't even make the news. And the stories leave you shaking your head. And you keep saying, but why even have the children? Why have the babies? Why? So I don't know. I don't know. So you got this other story, since we didn't finish talking about these crazy parents. But we really need to keep this world lifted in prayer, because this is really some craziness here. they didn't say what these parents were. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, so let me finish this story really quickly. They say that while they were together in the precinct, that she wanted to make sure she stayed near him. So when they noticed that, they separated the two of them. And they said she was yelling, "Don't say anything down the hallway." So they have them on a $100,000 bond. I say, when you do stuff like this, you don't get bail, you don't get bond. They don't even talk to you until it's time to go see the judge. You get nothing. And he tells you nothing. And I know somebody's going to say, "Oh, you know, that's the judicial system." I'm sorry. It's the judicial system that you take care of your children. And since you have opted not to do this, since you have opted to do this so badly, we'll just treat you the same. But we're going to come back. Because, you know, we do not condone the death penalty. You know, or at least we shouldn't, as pastors, condone the death penalty. Because who are we to take a life? But I would really like to hear, I'm really interested to hear from my pastors today what they think would be good punishment. So actually, I got all my pastors on the line right now. So I'm not finished my news. So while you listen to me to give the rest of the news, I want you to think about, I want you to give some thought as to what you think would be good punishment for these people. Listen, no judgment from me. We just not going death penalty. Okay? All right. Now, what else are we talking about today? Okay, so now you got this train business where you have these two guys in the middle of the day. It's about 4:45. Day is kind of shutting down. They're in the train. One bumps the other, and this causes a physical altercation. They say during the fight, one pushes the other one. No, during the fight, one fell on the track. So the other one actually helped to get him back up onto the platform. When he got back up the platform, he punched the guy who helped him get up on the platform, who he had been fighting with, and threw him onto the track. So now you got a new charge. Because now that's attempted murder, you dope. At least if you were just fighting and he helped you off the track, then all you got is, you know, some might be, you know, some assault or, you know, some misdemeanor fighting or whatever. Now you got an attempted murder charge. Now, God has saved your life from the very hand of the person you were fighting. And now you turn around, punch him, and then throw him on the subway train. I say, you can't make this stuff up. I don't care how great your imagination is. You cannot make this stuff up. Mm-mm-mm. Now, we got to talk. We got to talk justice today. That's going to be our topic. Because here we go with the last story. I was talking with Mr. KL last night, and we were talking about the father yesterday who poured antifreeze in the, I think she was 18 days old, newborn breast milk. That's how trifling we are. Well, we got one that just might top them today. Here we go. There's a guy who, where do they live? Georgia. 36-year-old father in Georgia accused of killing his two young daughters. Now I'm going to go to the story first. So he's in some battles and confrontations with the kid's mother. Now, the two girls, we get the ages, 1 and 3 years old. He's mad with the mother. He takes the two girls, locks them in the car, and sets them on fire. Sets the whole car on fire. Wicked and evil these people are. We've talked about this here on A Due Time so many times. And, you know, we talked about how when they're in this battle with the other parents, they are now taking it out on the children. This is taking it out on the children 10.0. This 1 and 3. And they said that multiple calls came in about this car being on fire. When the fire department got there and extinguished the fire, the children were dead, needless to say. They discovered the children's body when they didn't even know that anyone was in the car. All they saw was the car was on fire. When they did their research, they found out that this man was in some level of domestic dispute with his wife. Now, we've talked about this before. You know these people. You are not going to tell me this is the first time you have seen signs of this man being, violent, abusive. Oh, my gosh. This is not your first time. How do I leave my children? How does he get his hands on the children? I've been trying to read this story over and over to find out what, you know, did they said how did the hands change from her having the children to him having the kids. Oh. They have not, and I'm still reading as that. That's the hesitation you hear, because I'm dying to know. How did he get, they don't say that she reported the children missing. It doesn't say that he kidnapped the kids. Oh. All I know is, if you are saying, if the report is that there, the two people are in a domestic dispute, that could possibly and more likely and most likely mean it has something to do with some level of violence or abuse. Because I'm telling you, he's not just going to snap like that. There are signs that these people are crazy. Now, did you know he would go this far? Probably not. But no, I ain't leaving my kids. I've been in an abusive relationship. I ain't leave my daughter. I did not leave her because stupid Stephanie still stayed. But I tell you one thing, by the time Shantice was here and a little older, no. If I was ever around him, no, I ain't leaving her. No, I ain't leaving her. I'm not leaving her. No. We all leaving this house. No, sorry. No, I'm not giving you no opportunity to do this craziness. No. That way. Oh, all right. Now, let me get to my due time crew. All right. I always got to start with Pastor Jeff. Always got to start with Pastor Jeff. So let me start with Pastor Jeff. Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Jeff?
I'm doing well.
Okay, that's good. Glad to know you're doing well, Pastor Jeff. Excuse me. Now, Pastor Jeff, as you always tell us, we know how you feel. And you know, we know what you're going to say. Excuse me. But today we're talking justice. Now, having reviewed a lot of the comments that people have written that have read these stories, most of them are saying, you know, hey, you know, you need to, the taxpayers don't need to waste our money, or they don't need to waste taxpayers' money. You need to kill them. You know, we can't go around killing people as pastors. And I, in your head, I want to know, I'm going to go over each story, Pastor Jeff, and I want you to tell me what you think they deserve. So, you got the Texas mother who left the 6 and the 8-year-old in the house for 6 days so she could go on a cruise. Now, this is the first time they're not saying, you know, normally they say she was out with a boyfriend or out with a, you know, they didn't say that this time. They didn't say who she was with or she went with anybody. They just said she left these children home alone to go on a cruise. Thank God when the cops got there, the kids were safe. What do you think her punishment should be, Pastor Jeff?
Well, first of all, I'm going to let you know I don't believe in capital punishment, okay? But I do believe in torture. I believe these folks.
Wait. You
literally.
What?
Torture.
Wait, you believe in what?
Torture.
Oh, okay, torture. God, Pastor Jeff, I'm listening.
The reason why I don't believe in capital punishment, because they could ask the Lord to forgive them and we kill them and they go on to heaven. I want them to feel some punishment here on earth. Okay? I mean, for you to do stuff like that to a child, you have to be, I mean, you're not, to me, you're not human. Even the Bible says, you know, Jesus warns them not to, you know, harm a child. So, tells you it's better that a milestone be wrapped around your neck and you thrown into the lake, you know, your butt drowned before you harm a child. So I really believe they should have some form of torture these folks every day, you know, find ways to keep them alive.
What does that look like? What does that look like? Wait, what does the torture look like, Pastor Jeff? What does the torture look like?
Well, you don't really want to know where my mind to go with that, you know, because then you might not, you know, believe that the Lord is with me anymore. So I don't really want to give my...
Okay.
But I also believe in forgiveness. So after you torture them, forgive them. And then torture them again and forgive them again, you know, because... What are you doing? These are children. You know, you sit up there, you know, you talked about the antifreeze. Man, you had no love for the children at all. All about how you felt in the relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Pastor Jeff, they actually said that he told them that he poured the antifreeze in the baby's bottle so that he would not have to pay child support.
Yeah. Can you believe that? I mean, all about money.
No, it's,
you kill a child,
yep.
Kill the child that you made, you know, doing your mistakes or whatever. I mean, I went through a situation years ago with that child support thing, and I only wanted to kill the mother. You know what I'm saying? I almost had it in my state of mind, but when I knocked on the door and my daughter opened up the door and she said, "Daddy, I love my mommy," I couldn't kill the mother.
What? Did she see death in your eyes? What did I say that?
No, I'm being honest. She really, God really used my daughter. My daughter was 8 at the time, and God really used her to save her mother. I was not in the right state of mind. And trust me, if I told you the story, I know most of you women like, I'm on the woman's side. No, you would have been on my side if I tell you everything that went on, but we're not going to get into that. But I was in the wrong state of mind. I don't know what I was going to do. Opened up. But God allowed my daughter to open up that door. One look at my daughter and her saying what she said changed my whole life. Where would I be today? Because I know that I was not in my right mind.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Thank God. That woman had took my child from me. I couldn't see her. She used the laws against me. And I never was a deadbeat dad. My daughter tell you that. I never was. She was taking the money, giving it to her boyfriend, buying him a bottle of watches, not taking care of my child. And the courts was totally against me as a man back then. I had a lawyer and everything, and I lost. It didn't even matter. You know, I was out of my mind. But the love for my child, you understand, superseded
yes.
anything. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So I don't understand these guys killing their kids like that, and all of that mess. I can't see it. Torture them, they grow.
Wow. All right. So we got torture across the board. We got torture for her. We got torture for the. I'm gonna get rid of that story. We got torture for her. We got torture for. How did this do? Hold on. Oh, I got that twice. Okay. Torture for her. We got torture for the man who burnt the children up. Lord, have mercy. The man who burnt the children up. Oh, all righty. All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff, for joining us this morning. We coming back to have another conversation and talk to you in a little bit. Oh, my goodness. Well, this morning, we have our Pastor Mike on the phone, and the last time Pastor Mike was on with us a couple of Fridays ago, he was called Pastor something else, so I'll let you tell him what he was called. Good morning, Pastor Mike.
What's up, Pastor Sarah? How you doing?
I am okay, thank you, Pastor Mike. How are you?
I'm still trying to get over this weekend. I had a long weekend, but we're trucking along.
Okay. Well, I must say that we had the most enjoyable experience at the Last Supper with the King concert. Very well presented, and it was very well enjoyed. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Listen, anytime Pastor Steph and her crew is in my church, I feel happy. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. If you didn't come, I would have, have to knock you out. But you came, so I'm happy.
So Pastor Knockout is what you were left with. We were left with last couple of Fridays ago.
Yeah, that's what the wife calls me.
All right, well, Pastor Knockout, we've got some crazy stories here today. We had some crazy stories yesterday, and we are not with this execution of the guilty, but I really want to know, as a pastor, what would you do if you had your way with this Texas mother who left her children, 6 and 8, alone for 6 days to go on a cruise? What would her punishment be?
Well, right, I don't believe in execution because I feel like execution is a cop-out.
Right, me too.
Kill a person, that's it. There is no accountability for their actions. And so first, she has to do time. I know you said, taxpayer dollars, but she has to do time. Then she would have to be rehabilitated, see a shrink, see what's going on in the head and try to get her back to some type of normalcy. And then I would place her behind in the elementary school and force her to work with kindergartners and toddlers, and that should be enough punishment in itself.
Wow, you lenient. Okay. All right.
Lenient. Nah, these kids will drive from the wall again. So she would have to go through the process all over again.
I was gonna say, because if she clearly felt she needed a cruise to get away from the 6 and 8 year old, so how did she fare in a daycare center or nursery or kindergarten or whatever? So like you said, I guess she'd have to go over that process all over again. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Because every time she sees those kids, it's gonna remind her what she did.
Wow. Okay. All right. What about the 1-year-old that was left in the crib for 16 hours while the parents went to Burger King, got breakfast, came back, and went to sleep? What would you do with them?
Almost the same thing. They would have to do some time again, see a shrink, and then I would place them in the hospitals where mothers have stillborns, and have them prep the bodies and go to the morgue and go to the and have them bring the baby bodies to the funeral homes, and that would be their job for a few years. Yep. Let them see the dead every single day, and that would be a reminder of what they did.
Wow. Now that is creative. I didn't think about that one. Wow. Now listen, all of you who are listening to these consequences, feel free. Text in. Y'all know how to get to me. Let me know what you think. I'll read it after Pastor KL talks, and we'll see what the listeners say. All right? All right, Pastor Mike, that was interesting. Well, what about the dad who's in a domestic dispute with mom, his wife, takes the 1- and 3-year-old, puts them in the car, and torches the car, killing these children?
So that's a little different, because he dropped the ball as a man. And so he's going to have to get a beat down like a man. After he get his beat down, then we got to sit him down and explain to him, you know, where he went wrong. Give him a second beat down. Let him do some time. But again, put him in a situation where he now has to work with children. And that also will be his punishment, to remind him of what he did.
Wow. All right, Pastor Mike. Let's see what your brother, Pastor KL, has to say about this thing. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll be back to talk about our main topic in a little bit. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Glory to God. I feel so refined with all these gangster preachers. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering.
Oh, my goodness gracious. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well. I'm twittery, but other than that, I'm physically fine. Thank you. All right. So we're talking about child punishment outside of killing people. What would you do with the Texas mom who went on the cruise and left the 2 children?
Well, first she would do a long time in jail. However, her first 6 days would be in solitary confinement where you probably wouldn't eat or anything because you wasn't concerned about what your children would eat. So we shouldn't be concerned about whether you're eating. So you should go to solitary confinement where you by yourself, and we'll come and think about you in 6 days.
Okay. What happens after solitary?
have to sound her, you know, with Big Bertha and okay. Couldn't think, Cynthia. So
okay.
You got to deal with that.
Alrighty.
One thing that they don't tolerate is abuse, you know, and that's a sense of abuse, you know. So prison doesn't tolerate, you know. So you go in for any crazy cause of abuse where somebody was defenseless, it'll get you.
Yeah. They are law abiding citizens. After all, they do have to model.
Right.
After all. My goodness gracious! All right. So, what do you do with the couple who left the baby in the crib for 16 hours without attending to it, but they did get Burger King for breakfast?
Yeah, but did they give the child Burger King? Oh, did they get Burger King for themselves?
They didn't look
for the one. I can't see the one. Yeah, I can't see the 1-year-old. You know, having it his way. You know, so I mean, yeah. They need to go to jail. Forever. That in my case, I mean, because when you look at that, you're not feeding your child. You know, you're not changing your child. You know, that's attempted murder. You're not doing nothing for this child.
Yeah.
You know, so the child can go 16 hours without eating. I mean, even more of that because you got up and you didn't pay the child no attention. No. You should go to jail for a very long time.
Oh, wow. You're young. Some lenient people here. Wow. Okay. Well, finally, the dad.
We're trying to be holy.
What'd you say?
We're trying to be holy.
You know what? Pastor Jeff ain't trying to be holy. He's
torture. That's just a torture. I mean, the name of.
We've got the dad who had the domestic dispute going on with the mom and locked the 1 and the 3-year-old in the car and torched the car, burning up the children.
I'm with you. First of all, how did he get the children? You know, and this had to be some type of, you know, habit or a trait that he's done before. So why would you give your children up for any reason? You know, I think he should be put in the car, too. And you should burn up the car. And right before he died, you rescue him. And then send him to jail.
How would you even know?
I don't know. I mean, listen, you know, the fire department can tell how much air you can live off of. You know, and once it gets to that minute second, pull him. You know what I mean? He'll be all burnt and crispy. He won't get into a new relationship. You know what I mean? He'll think twice about even having a burger off the grill. You know what I mean? No. Burn him up.
You know, I have to honestly say, you know, like I said earlier, you know, definitely no death. I agree with Pastor Mike. You know, not only... you know, do we not have the right? But that's like a pass, in my opinion. You dead, you don't know nothing. You ain't suffering, you died. You know. And, you know, and whatever death penalty, you know, they choose or they, you know, that has been rendered, you know, that ain't gonna be no, that's not enough. It's just too short lived. And you talk about children who really suffered. And, you know, even including those two those children we talked about yesterday. And my thing is, I have to tell you, I'm with Pastor Jeff. I'm going straight torture. You, first of all, you ain't eating. Eating, that's a luxury. I would give you bread and water. Dude, you remember years ago they used to always say, oh, you get in jail with bread and water? Well, baby, I would make that happen. Bread and water it is. And I mean, some of the nastiest water you could drink. I ain't saying give you no sewer water. I ain't saying give you no dirty water. But I am saying there's some water you pay for that's nasty. So ain't nothing you're going to enjoy. And you would get some dry bread that's like 5 seconds from being
stale. And that's all you would have. You wouldn't get no crackers. You wouldn't get, I mean, nothing else. That's all you would get. You would be in a solitary, and then you'd have to be in a room. See, I'm kind of with Pastor Mike. You'd be in a room, in a chair, and you'd have to wear children off. Just sit with children off. Now, I actually like the idea Pastor Mike said when he said they had to work in a morgue. I would definitely do. I didn't think about that one. That one I would do. But when I tell you, you would be, now, torture may be a little bit different, you know, in Pastor Jeff's mind, you know, when he says torture. But this is the level of torture I'm talking about, you know, where you would just, you know, you would just do nothing. You would have nothing. Because to me, even in jail, you got other people to talk to. You know, you partner up with somebody. You know, no. It's just too many privileges in jail, you know, for some people. And, you know, you would have to go to some level of counseling, therapy, psychiatrist, something. Because your head needs to be examined. Your head really needs to be examined. They need to figure out what's going on with you. And if that was torture to you, then I'd make it 3-4 times a day you'd have to see a different individual. If you hated it, that's the more you'd have to go. You can't do nothing because there would be a guard standing there. You handcuffed to the chair. You couldn't move. You'd be shackled to the chair as well at your ankles. No, you couldn't budge. I would make your life so miserable, you would wish you were dead. And then pray that God would allow you to live to be 115 years old. No. This is just too much. And I honestly think that these people, that's a lot. Based on what they did to these children, it's horrible. It's horrible. And these, you know, you again, you know, the little girl didn't die yesterday who drank the antifreeze. But what was her little body going through? You talk about the children who were burned in a fire. What did they go through? Oh, my God, I can't even imagine being in a car. That's fire engulfed in a car. No, that is just that's torture. And you really snapped like that? You really had that kind of mental illness? You put those children through that? You don't want to pay no money? So you going to give the children antifreeze and drink? This is sick. This is sick. Well, guess what? I'd act just as sick as you. I'd act just as sick as you. And you would be one miserable, miserable individual. And any other time.
You've been listening to Due Time with Gangsta Steph.
I'm serious. I'm so tired of hearing the treatment of these children. I'm so tired. And they're innocent. They are innocent. They didn't ask to come here. So y'all can call me Gangsta Steph. I'll gladly wear the cap. But anytime you weren't doing any of those things, you spend in one nasty smelling toilet room. I wouldn't clean the toilet. I wouldn't do nothing. You'd sit right there. I wouldn't change. I wouldn't give you no new sheets for months at a time. Oh, you'd be miserable. You'd be so miserable. You would wish, God, take my life. Take my life, Lord. Take my life. Oh, yeah. You would wish you were dead. You would wish you were dead. This is just horrible treatment. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for indulging me in my news this morning. I got a story here that I thought was real interesting that I wanted to pick your brains. So they have this picture of ex-President Trump, who has who they call his supporter. Her name is Michaela Montgomery. They call her a grassroots activist in Atlanta, Georgia, as well as a supporter of former President Trump. Excuse me. And they said that when they asked her what drew her and other young black voters to Trump, she stated that they feel like he's honest. Now, supposedly, he visited some Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. She was in there, and they ended up meeting, you know, coming across one another, and ended up in this big bear hug. And she says to him, I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump, we support you. Now, she went on an interview, and he asked her, what is it about him that is gravitating young people toward this president? And a lot of people, traditionally Republicans, don't do well in Black America. But a list of you young Black Americans, like the former president, what is it about him? And she said, I think, and this is a sentiment I get a lot coming from the young black people themselves, is that they feel like he's honest. They feel like this is somebody who, while we might not agree with how he says things, how he goes about things, at least he's telling us what it is. We don't feel like this is a snake in the grass waiting for his chance to bite us. This is somebody who's telling us, quote unquote, this is what my plan is. Here's how I plan to execute it. Yeah, execute it. Here's the people involved, and here's how you can get involved. So that's the way she, you know, she felt and answered in the interview. So he flipped it and ask her another question. But before we get to that question, what's your thought on this whole, you know, the young black people feel like he's being honest. They feel like he's relatable. That's also here. And they say that, you know, he's upfront. He tells them like it is, what his plan is, how he's going to execute it, who's the people are going to be involved. What do you think about that, Pastor Jeff?
Well, first of all, she doesn't speak for, you know, she calls herself speaking for majority of the black, you know, young black people, but she doesn't speak for them. I don't agree that they, you know, majority of them feel that way. But is he relatable to the black, you know, to us black? He's relatable because he's fighting so many charges. You know, we used to, you know, society putting charges on us and trying to railroad us and all that. So that's what makes him relatable. But he's honestly a liar. You know, if he's honest about anything, he's honestly a liar. He knows we know he's a liar and he's a crook and he's done all these things, you know, but he has the audacity. I think that's the turn on with us blacks. Is that his audacity, you know, he has the audacity to just, you know, fight everything, do what he want to do, say what he want to say, and be who he is, you know. So that's the turn on with him, I believe, with the black community.
Now, what do you think the turn on is, Pastor Jeff?
That he does what he want to do. He says what he want to say. He is who he is. He sleeps with, you know, porn stars and he lies on his taxes and he does all kind of crooked business deals. I mean, you know, it's what America was built on. I'm just saying, he's relatable because of his audacity.
Okay,
he dares to do what he
want
to do.
Okay. Pastor Mike, what say you? What do you think about, you know, this young black woman saying that, you know, this she speaks pretty much because this is what they've told her, and that's what she said. What do you think?
So, first let me say, I'm not a Trump supporter or a fan. However, my 401k started to look really nice while he was in office. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Now,
in regards to the media and Trump, we have been fed too much misinformation. The media has done too much damage. And the only way we can kind of decipher and get real truth is if you listen to all media platforms and then come to your own conclusion. If you listen to Fox News, you're going to be in a bubble. If you listen to CNN, you're going to be in a bubble. Trump lives in a bubble. He lives in a bubble of people always telling him, yes, 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 yes. That's the reason why he walks around the way he does. So you have to see it from that angle, from that perspective. You know what I mean? With Trump, he's going against the grain, and he's going after people who likes people that go against the grain, right? If you look at Biden, he's very presidential, and it's almost like the same rhetoric over and over.
No,
listen, hold on. With Trump, though.
I'm telling you that for a reason.
All right, so what you want? You want me to hold off then?
I want you not to talk about Biden.
All right, I'm not going to talk about Biden.
Not yet.
Presidents prior to Trump, they had a certain way of moving, right? And I feel like there's powers behind that control that narrative. Trump came into the picture, and now the people that normally control the narrative can't control the narrative. And so it's feeding on people that like that energy are attracted to that energy. I think Pastor Jeff said it, that black people like all of that you know, fanfare. Not all, but some. And so this young girl, she's not doing her due diligence. She's just going based on whoever's around her, telling her, oh, Trump this or Trump that, and she's running with it, you know. I think Trump is a detriment to our country, and we're going to hell faster than we should be. That's my take.
Wow.
That's my take.
Okay, joking now. Okay,
although,
okay.
He did make my 401k look good, like I said.
No, wait a minute. Why do you say he made your 401k look good?
While he was in office, everybody's stocks and 401ks and bonds was looking pretty good.
Okay. All righty.
The stats are there.
Okay. Well, I ain't had a 401k in a minute. I'm disabled. I ain't got one. All right. Pastor KL, what say you about what this young lady is saying about Black America and the former President Trump?
Well, I don't really believe that. I mean, I know young folks who don't even know about politics. They just know about what they heard. They're not even voting. You know, and the people who are attracted to him is because he's a light-skinned gangster. You know, and, you know, like someone says, he's relatable. You know, it's almost like, let's look at relationships. You know, this girl is fine, but she's ratchet. And you are attracted to the ratchet. You know, there are men who just attracted to ratchetness, knowing that they can't do nothing for you. You know, they can't lift you up, but because they so ghetto fabulous. You know, the rappers started it from early on in the day. I need someone with some big bamboo earrings in their head. You know, about two pair. The more ratchet they are, the more I gravitate to them. And so if you look at it from that way, in perspective, then Trump was our first Black president. Because he's ratchet.
Okay.
And that's what they relate to.
Okay. All right, thank you. I got a comment from a listener. I believe that this is true, that Pastor Jeff holds some truth, because the Black community accepted former President Bill Clinton because he got his pleasures from Monica Lewinsky, cheated on his wife, and smoked weed, and now they claim him. So if the Black community is claiming Trump, that's because he is relatable in the sense that he's messy. Because that's just how some young Black people are, in my opinion. Well, I believe this encounter Trump had with Allstate, and that this woman is a paid actress. All right. Well, I told Pastor Mike to hold off because the interview went on further, and he asked the young lady, what has Biden done for our community? What has he done for Black America? That's why I wanted you to keep your comments limited to Trump. Well, he locked up a lot of people that look like me, and they're still sitting in jail waiting for, you know, justice. an appeal of some sort. So when it comes to what Joe Biden has done for Black America, if we look specifically at his record as a senator, it wasn't something that benefited us at all. If anything, one could argue that he dedicated his entire senatorial career to disrupting the way of life, you know, for Black people. He didn't want Black kids going to the same school his kids went to. He didn't want Black people walking on the sidewalk along with his mother and grandmother. Pastor Jeff, what do you think about, you know, how she answered and, you know, what she said about Biden?
I totally agree with that. You know, Biden was as race, you know, his whole platform now is because it benefits him. You know, it got him to where he had to go. He had to stop knowing what he was doing. But he was against Black people. He was, you know, keeping us in jail longer, locking us up for no reason, all of that. And the only reason why he's all for Black people now, because it's the boat to get on for his political rise, you know, to get to where he got, you know, where he's going and what he's doing. But I agree. I believe he was more racist than Trump ever was, you know, or ever is, believe it or not, in his heart. But it works for him, so that's why he's using it. He's doing it. I'm all for Black people. I'm doing this for Black people, this, that, and the other. But he's just a racist white old man. That's what he really is in his heart.
Okay. Well, Pastor Mike, now please add in what you want to say about Biden.
I agree. I just feel like he's just a part of the system, you know. Regular, typical white man that, you know, knows that the Black vote is important, and he's using the Black vote to win. And, you know, he's racist, and the list goes on. At the end of the day, I believe that as African-Americans or people of color, that we need to realize that our dollars are just as important, if not more important, and that and if we actually come together, we would start to see a lot of change, and especially in how the country does politics. So I think we need to start going against the grain and start looking, forgetting about Republican, Democrat, and start looking at independent people that are running and put our votes behind that if we really want change.
Okay. Pastor KL, what do you think about what she said about Joe Biden?
Well, I mean, I agree. You know, however, I'm not surprised. You know, politics is a lying profession. You know, the better you can lie, the better your poker face, you know, the more chances of you getting in. Once you get in, I can do what I want to do. Again, let's go back to relationship. You know, if I'm a player.
I got a question, though. Hold on. I got a question, though. But see, a lot of people say that, and I feel like politics is a great it's a great thing to have. And do you have to lie? Do you have to have a poker face to be a politician? Like, I would love to be a politician, but because comments like that, everybody think, oh, you're going to be crooked, is why I'm not sitting in the seat right now. But I think, you know, especially pastors or leaders of the church, we got to be involved in politics. We got to be at the table in order to make sure our community is straight. But I'm scared to do it because we got people say, oh, if you're a politician, you're crooked. Not all politicians are crooked. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Right. No, you're right, but not all church people are saved. So, I mean, to go to your premise, you know, yeah, not all politicians are crooked. But tell me your church that you've been to that everybody that says hallelujah is saved. So either way, you're rolling the dice.
My church. No, I'm joking.
Okay. Are you finished, Pastor KL? Do you have more?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay. Pastor, yeah, let me ask you. What'd you say?
I don't want past the mic to come get me.
Past the mic. Yeah.
What do you think about
whatever
this comment? All politicians are liars.
Oh, I didn't know you was addressing that to me. Politicians are liars? No, I believe all of us are liars when we have to be. You know, it's just human. We're liars, and that's why we need the blood of Jesus to cover us, because when it comes down to it and I backed up against the wall, most of us are going to lie. The only one that wouldn't lie was Jesus Christ. He went all the way to the cross telling the truth, okay? But like Peter, most of us are Peters. We going to lie if I backed up against the wall. And then we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us later. You know, so you say all politicians, that's just human. I would hope that there are some politicians that really try their best not to lie, that, you know, try to tell the truth. But in that game, it is very hard to tell the truth, because people will take the truth and misconstrue you and make you out to be a lie. So it's a dirty game that would almost force your hand to lie when you're in it. But that's with most things. Bank applications, I can go on and on. You know, in everyday life, it's a struggle. So I wouldn't just put that on politicians.
I got a question for you, Pastor Mike. So when you were on last week, last time, you know, we were talking about, you know, the mayor, and we, you know, it kind of came out today, and you were talking about with Trump, that, you know, all this negative publicity, you know, media information we get is not accurate. You know, they always portray the worst side, which I know to be the truth. I know that, you know, the stir is what gets people reading. Why, if this is the case, why are you not, meaning whoever is being portrayed in this negative light, who's over here building a house, put your phone on mic, put your phone on mute. Why is it that if I see myself portrayed in a manner that I'm doing all of this good stuff, but no, the media is not telling that, I have the ability to put myself out there. So my people have the ability to do the promotion as well, to get my word out there. Why isn't that done more? Why is it that the only information that we hear, the main information we hear, is the stuff that's not good? Why don't you work on doing what you need to do and get the word out there that you're such a great person?
You want me to answer that?
Yes, I said Pastor Mike.
Okay,
please.
So here's the thing. When people talk about you, do you stop and address each and every person that's talking about you, or are you like, you got bigger fish to fry?
We ain't talking about that. We're not talking about Stephanie.
No. That's what it boils down to. I'm not saying that everything is, you know, Eric, but you got to look at the bigger picture. He can't stop to defend himself, you know, but like the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And I went down to list of things that he has done that we have seen with our own eyes that the media has not talked about.
Who has seen
it? I went down the list of things that...
Hold on. Hold that thought. So when we speak, I don't know Donald Trump. I don't know Joe Biden personally. I don't work with these people. The mass majority, we don't work with these people personally. So this morning you were bringing up the fact that if you listen to CNN, if you listen to CBS or whoever it is, you're kind of like in a bubble, because all they're going to do is portray Trump with all the negativity. What I need to do is to become to know him personally. The only way you were able to call those things out was because You know this personally, but none of this stuff is out publicly.
No, it is out publicly. That's why I said the bias, you should know them, right? People complaining that right after COVID, how dirty and nasty the city was, people stopped complaining. Why? Because he put in place the whole sanitation cleanup. And I listed things that he has done in his term last week, and he's not getting credit for it. And that's why I said he can't stop to say, look, guys, I'm doing all this good when there's so much stuff he got to clean up in a short period of time. He only got 4 years. De Blasio handed him a city that was completely failing. So I'm not quick to jump and say, oh, what has he done? There's no politician that can clean up a city in 4 years. They can do
and
what
that's
they can.
Understandable.
And if they get a second term, then God bless them. If they don't, the next guy gonna come in, somebody's gonna complain. Oh, he's not doing enough. And the cycle just keep going.
And that's understandable. That's understandable. And like I said, I'm not talking about Mayor Adams in specific. The only reason why I'm asking this is because you made the statement about Trump the same way. You were saying that all these people portray all the bad stuff. And I'm sure that there are good things that he does. However,
right, but remember, that's why I said, remember, that's why I said, my 401k looked sweet. Nobody was complaining about the stock market and their pensions and stuff raising. Nobody complained then, you know. So I got to give him credit. I got to be fair. I got to give the man credit. He's a businessman, and while he was in office, our Social Security and you know, the things that we're going to need in the future was profiting, and we look good.
Absolutely, and I agree. The point I'm trying to make is, if all that's being portrayed, how many people who are speaking don't have 401ks? So unfortunately, they don't have the ability to say, like you did, okay, I may not agree and I'm not a supporter, however, I can say, hey, this is what has happened that I can definitely say we benefited from. Well, how many of the we are we talking about? So unfortunately, many people don't have that to fall on or anything else. Or you people are commenting on what they see and what they hear. So it's almost like it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, because no matter what you do, whatever is put out there is what you're going to have to ride on. And no, we can't jump and defend ourselves, as you said it, for every little thing. But if that's all the people are hearing, then we can't really complain about. I'm going to give you an example, a perfect example. So I spoke at United Church of God last month. Now, the mass majority of the people in the room didn't know me, but there were a few who did, including your wife. She was there. So I was talking, and I gave an example. And I got a phone call the next day from the pastor and his wife, who said, people think you're a crackhead, that you are a crackhead. And I'm like, well, where'd they get that from? How could they think that? So they said, yeah, they said 5 years ago. So for you to be on crack 5 years, for you to have been on crack 5 years ago, you look good. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was devastated. When I tell you tears, I'm being honest, tears came down. I was like, oh, my God, all I've done. And how could these people walk away thinking I was on crack, blah, blah, blah. So they sent me a recording. And I had spoken a good, let's say, 25 minutes into the recording. And I said, as an example, I was on crack 5 years ago, blah, 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 blah. And some of the people in the room took that I was saying I personally was on crack. I was devastated. However, when I heard it, I called Shantice and I said, girl, it came out of my own mouth. I said, now I can see how people could have misunderstood the fact that they thought I was on crack 5 years ago because of the way it was said. I said, however, the whole time I had been talking in that manner. So I thought when I said it, they continued the way I had been speaking in that former manner, that they would have known that I was literally saying, giving an example. So what I'm saying is, at that point, the tears had to stop, and I had to understand that people went with what they heard. We can't be upset. I couldn't be upset any longer because I understood that they understood it based on what they heard. Now, for those in the room who knew me, they could tell the people, no. She was saying it was an example. They were able to clear it up just like you did, just like you did with the 401k, just like you did 2 weeks ago with the garbage cleanup and whatever else he's done. So what I'm saying is, ask people, since you said me, I can't run around and ask Pastor Creighton to put everybody in the room who was there, so I can now say to everybody, well, you know what, that was an example. I was not on crack 5 years ago. If you look at, I'm big and fat right now, that's a real comeback for a crackhead, but I was never on crack. You're right, I can't clean it up. But I do have to swallow and understand and accept that this is what the people are going to, that's the way they took it. And I can't do nothing about it. I just got to keep on moving. So we can't.
Right. So, times that by all the media folk that took that one soundbite and did whatever they did with it, that's what he has to face every time he goes in front of the media. Or any person
that eat it. Here's what I did. I asked Sister Creighton, I said, did people who know me tell them that I was? She was like, absolutely. Absolutely. It's up to the people. It's up to my people. So if my people don't speak on it, that means that less people in the room will find out. So, in other words, it goes back to my original question. If I know that the people left the room believing that 5 years ago I was a crackhead, then it is my job, if I don't want people to believe that I was a crackhead 5 years ago, to ask my people to do damage control. And I don't know if that's happening. And that was my question. My question was, is that happening? With all the people that's out there, you have the ability to get media going for you as well. So if I know this is the way that people have looked at me, how come I don't take 15 minutes and do a press conference? Why don't I take however I can get it done? If I could get a
because
press
it's
conference
so much work that you're people doing. Pastor Steph got so much going on that I sometimes forget all the stuff that you do. But like I said, your fruit is telling. Your fruit is showing. So I feel the same thing. That you don't have time to, all right, let me address this rumor. Let me address this. No. You got to X amount of time to do the most you can and to execute so that when you come out, your legacy will be the stuff that you actually did and they can actually see when you come out.
Okay. Thank you for answering. Thank you. That's all I was questioning. I wasn't asking for the rundown again. Just asking, what do you do when you have everybody believing one thing and that's what they're talking about? All right. Let's
close
with this question.
I'm different. I don't care what people say about me. My work is going to speak for itself.
Okay. I feel the same way, but I don't want people thinking I was a crackhead. I feel the same way. But I want
send them to me.
Send
them to Pastor Knockouts. We'll take care of them.
Thank you so much. I knew you had my back. Pastor Jeff, Trump or Biden, who would you vote for? if it was only two?
I really don't know. You know, I guess I'm going to have to vote for Biden because I just think Trump is his mind is going so bad that he'll put us in a in a World War III, you know. So, I,
okay.
You know, but
okay.
I don't want neither one of them. I don't want neither one of them.
Okay, that's probably the general consensus. But if it was left up to those two, you'd go with Biden, correct?
Yes. I go with the devil I know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Pastor Knockout. Pastor Mike, if you had, if these were our two choices, Trump or Biden, which one would you go for?
Oh, on that day, I'll be on vacation. My bad.
You know what? All right. Some people feel that way. Some people actually feel that they, there's no vote. People feel there's no vote. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Pastor KL. Trump, Biden, which one you checking?
Give me Barabbas. Either one of them are Barabbas. but I think for me, and because of the state that I live in, I'd rather Biden. You know, again, this is a Trump state. So he's going to overlook a whole lot of stuff. So you know, though Trump is blatant in what he does, that's the danger part. He's blatant in what he does. So they're coming to get us, you know, one way or the other. You know what I mean? Biden, we can sneak through the cracks. Trump wants us all gone. I don't care how much you hug him, how much you do a kumbaya, you know what I mean? His face is still his face. He does not have it good for the brown people. So give me Biden.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Always a real good conversation when it comes to the Duke Time Crew. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Mike, and Pastor KL. Thank you so much. We appreciate your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
You as well.
All righty. I got so into my conversation, I didn't even get my benediction going. So we just going to say Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're going to go with that one today. Woo! Love the conversation. Where's my thing here? Here we go. As I was asking the question, who would you vote for? I was actually trying to think myself, who would I vote for? And I have to say, they're both doing us dirty. They both have done us dirty. You've got Trump, who is just blatant, as Pastor KL said, blatant with what he does. He doesn't care who likes it, who does it. He doesn't care who talks about it. He doesn't care, you know, what light it puts him in or the consequences of anything. He doesn't care. And him being charged with so many accusations and convictions, it shows he doesn't care. Also, with this January 6th event, it shows he doesn't care. He knows that everybody knows he was behind it. He tried to, you know, say it wasn't him at one point, but he knew, everybody knew. And after a while, he just kind of gave in and, you know, kind of said it. But, you know, he's just blatant. And I agree with Pastor KL. That's the scary one. You know, with Biden, he's sit on the seat of do nothing. I think he's doing some stuff, but a lot of his stuff is just kind of sitting back, laying back. And that's what they always accuse the Democrats of doing, you know, of being just kind of free and letting anything happen and letting people do what they do and people do what they want to do. And, you know, that's why they always talk about the Democrats. And they hate us so much because they blame us
for the poverty of the world and the condition that the world is in. But if I had to choose, it would be Biden. I just think that, you know, choosing Trump, it would be a lot more dangerous. And it looks like that, you know, Biden's going to be, you know, sitting in the seat of the Democratic run. I don't know who, you know, what it will end up being actually. But it doesn't really look like, you know, a whole lot of contenders. They've had several people drop. And I don't know what we're going to be in, you know, what we're going to end up with. A lot of people have said what Pastor Mike said. They're not voting. They're simply not voting. And I think that's one of the worst things we could do. Because one of the things about Trump and his people, they going to do. So, yes, they, while you sitting at home mad, while you sitting at home upset that the only two people that we have to vote for are these two, I think that's the worst thing we could do because they're going out to vote. So while we have all this absenteeism, you know, and my prayer is that, you know, right now it's just the upset and the anger and, you know, the thought will be there. Let me go and just put my check mark. And it seems like, it seems so bad that we're in this situation that let me just go ahead and put a check mark. You know, like Pastor Kev, I just go with the devil I know. You know, we know both of them. But the one that we think will do us, you know, the least amount of damage, you know, let me just go ahead. And that's such a bad place to be because that's how people deal with relationships and that's how people make a whole lot of other decisions. You know, well, let me just go ahead with it. You know, let me just go ahead, you know, let me stick with the devil I know. And they are hanging with, and they go with the man that's beating the brains out. They go with the man who's torturing them in a sense. They go with the man who's, you know, who they live in fear with, you know. You know, a lot of women say, you know, I don't want to leave because I have a lot of money. And, you know, I remember DeBarge with all those 9 kids, and that husband was sexually abusing and physically abusing her and sexually abusing boys and the girls. She literally said she stayed because she knew no one else would want her and her 9 kids, and there was no place for them to go, and she didn't have any other option. She just stayed with the best option she had. So that's what I'm saying. And look at them now. They are a mess. Oh, my gosh. They have been a mess for years. And she just passed away, and they showed a clip of them singing at her funeral, and oh, my gosh. They looked up, hot, been through. And you think about the fact that, you know, this is what they experienced because she felt that she stayed with the devil she knew. And that's what I say, you know, in any sense, it's such a bad place to be because we don't make, we can't make a good decision. Let me put it like that. We can't make a good decision. But, you know, her best decision would have been to leave, but in her head, to leave with 9 kids back during that time, you know, it's not like today. You know, today we just like, you know, if one got to stay with my sister, 2 got to stay with my cousin, 3 got to stay with me, and we're going to sleep in the car. I'll take the oldest 3, we're going to sleep in the car because we're going to tough it out. It was a different mentality. And this is where we are now, you know, with this presidential situation. We're gridlocked. We're gridlocked. And this is why we need to know the Lord. This is why it's so important that we need to know the Lord, because that's your only out. That's your only out. And that's the way of maintaining and enduring even through the hell of having the worst people to choose from. It's the only way you're going to make it. It just doesn't work any other way. So, you know, what else are you going to do, you know, when you think about it? But we got to get there. We've got to get to the polls, people. We've got to do what we need to do so that we can, you know, pray for a change. And that's the thing that I always think about. God, are you ever going to turn this around? Are we going to be stuck here?
or are you going to turn us around? And if more of us turn our lives around, then even if we get through the next 4 years with Biden, who did us nothing, did nothing for us, whichever way you want to put it, then prayerfully the next 4 years, you know, someone can be, you know, in that seat running who is going to really make a difference in this nation. Because I can't, you know, I don't want to believe, and I'm going to put it like that, I don't want to believe that there will never be anything different. I don't want to just knock that out of the park. I don't want to just knock that out of my mind. I'm not doing that. No, I'm going to, you know, trust God that either we're going to get better, or regardless of where we are in the, who's in that presidency, see, Stephanie is going to do well. So I say, come on, let's join me. Let's get to those, you know, to those voting sites and pray, ask God what you checking off, and make it happen. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your days. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, our pastors, for always giving us what we need. Thank you for hanging out with us and participating in the conversation. Please do not miss the opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to just strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now. Later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, Godspeed. Oh, where it's Wow Wednesday. Until then, I love you.